Okay, so it's wonderful to be together, and I want to wish everybody in advance a Gemar Chasima Tova. It's really very special for me that Martin and Adele sponsored the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha this year in memory of Martin's mother, Elizabeth Rosenfeld, Elka Bas Moshe Chaim. So her neshama should have an aliyah. People who know me know how much affection I have for Martin and for Adele, and Martin has told me much of his mother, and to be associated in any way with Martin's mother is really a very special privilege, and especially in the context of the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, certainly one of the highlights of the year for me, to be able to connect that with her memory. Feels like a real privilege. So let me begin there. People may have had the sources. I'll certainly share my screen in a little bit. I'll be referring to them intermittently. The topic tonight is Kocha Shel Busha, is the unique power and a proper understanding of the role of shame, really an essential quality. Let me begin with the third rail here, which is that people have, especially today, a very pejorative, negative association with the idea of shame and embarrassment. It's seen in some ways, and maybe justifiably so, as we'll begin with, as a grievous kind of an injury and an offense, and nothing should ever be achieved through shame or with shame. But we'll see, God willing, tonight, if we're careful about it, that while there's some truth to that, that's a very reductionist perspective. And actually, it's really impossible to meaningfully understand tshuva without busha, without, not just regret, but we'll see with shame. And that properly understood, shame indeed has an enormous koach, kocha shel busha, but one that need not be negative. We'll see the origins of that expression are in a particular Gemara, where it certainly does mean something very, very negative, but it can be channeled in a uniquely positive way. So to begin to understand the role of busha, in tshuva, one does need to take a bit of a more panoramic perspective, we might say a shas perspective. So let's begin. I'll share my screen here. Hopefully people will be able to see, and hopefully I'll still be able to interact here with everybody properly. Hopefully people can see what I'm looking at. Okay, so the Mishnah Bava Kamma in Perek HaChovel very famously discusses, torts from a halachic point of view, and there are these objective torts that we call damages, pain, workman's compensation, medical expenses, nezek, tsar, sheves, ripoy, and then there's something called boshes. Boshes is a little bit more complex. The Mishnah already says, you see the first source, hakol lefi hamivayesh vehamisbayesh, it depends on relative social status, many other factors in terms of the offending party and the offended party. And then the Mishnah introduces something which the Rambam integrates into his psak in Hilchos Chovel Umazik, which you see in the second source, that from a Dine Mamonos perspective, from the standpoint of financial liability, so one is only liable in terms of causing emotional harm and distress. There are some people who think that, we moderns in the 21st century, the 20th century, were so advanced, we're the first people to think about, emotional distress. It's as old as, Torah itself. It goes back to Har Sinai. But one of the things that the Rambam paskins is that the person has to be b'miskaved, and it's only, applicable where a person actually, from a Dine Mamano standpoint, actually intended to cause, this harm to a person. And it doesn't apply if a person was, sleeping or otherwise didn't intend it. Etc. We live in a world today, obviously, where people aren't very good at making that distinction, and things that were clearly unintended can often be treated as malicious, and that's something that the halacha doesn't countenance in general, and certainly not here. But to begin with, we can, you know, appreciate that, you know, people will have some kind of a negative association or affiliation with, you know, busha, because it is considered to be halakhically a tort. More significantly than just, you know, the dinei mamonos that are involved, the Rambam, very celebrated and justly so, passage in Hilchos Tshuva tells us that somebody who's a habitual offender in this area, who, you know, shames other people regularly, a malbim b'nei chaveo b'rabim, you know, surrenders his place in the celestial realm, his eternal reward, despite the fact that kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek olam haba, that's only by default. But a person is a malbim p'nei chaveiro b'rabim, so then he forfeits, you know, that chelak in olam haba, and so certainly the stigma that we attach to embarrassment or shame seems, you know, to be well deserved. But if somebody compelled me to pick just one source, I'm not so limited tonight. But if somebody, you know, compelled me to choose just one source about how, you know, dangerous and deleterious shame is, it would certainly be a Gemara that we very often discuss, not so much this time of year, but usually around, you know, Tisha B'Av and during the period of Beit HaMitzarim in the 9 days, about Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. The story is so familiar to us, so we don't really need to review it, you know, everything in detail. But again, just to go over the, you know, the basics of the storyline around the time of Chorban HaBayis, so there was a big, you know, party of the A-listers, and there was some faux pas, and instead of Kamtza being invited, remember, you know, Bar Kamtza was invited, and, you know, he's about to be thrown out, and the rabbis aren't objecting, and that's a big part of the problem. And he offers to pay for his meal and for half of the entire party, then for the whole party, and the host, you know, is incorrigible, totally intractable in his approach, and, you know, he won't allow this individual who's, you know, being humiliated to remain. And the Gemara then concludes, and this is, you know, so vital because, you know, this, you know, can be overlooked. So the last two lines of the fourth source, so, you know, what happens, happens. He goes and informs to the Romans, and the Gemara makes much of this and says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, bore kama gdola kocha shel busha. That's where I took the expression from, kocha shel busha, sharei siyei kadosh baruch hu es bar kamtza, hecharev es beso v'saraf es hechalo. That because of the shame and embarrassment that Bar Kamtza suffered, God was willing to go along, you know, with this, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the revulsion that we all, you know, feel when we hear that somebody was publicly shamed and embarrassed and how terrible that is, and, you know, other statements along those lines, you know, in the Gemara, Mutav sheyashlich adam l'toch esatzmo l'toch kivshan shel esh v'al yavin p'nei chaveiro b'rabim, that the Rabbeinu Yonah points out in Perkei Avos, it really is like murder, maybe it's yahareg v'al yavor. So to discuss embarrassment in anything other than the most negative of terms seems, you know, to be a non-starter. However, that would be, as I said in the introduction, reductionist, and it would actually make it impossible for us to understand the nature of tshuva. So if we go to the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Tes, this is the fifth source, where the Gemara tells us that David HaMelech followed up on an original enactment of Yehoshua ben Nun, who did not let a particular group of people, the Givonim, marry into the main body of the Jewish people, based on a certain deception that they had engaged in. So David HaMelech followed that up by more permanently banning them from marrying into the main body of the Jewish people because of an act of cruelty that they had initiated and engaged in relative to the house of Shaul, a certain act of vengeance, the seven descendants of the house of Shaul who they killed, and then they displayed their bodies. And David HaMelech comments in the following vein. So you have here, in the fifth source, Amar Shlosha Simanim Yesh Be'umazo, Rachmanim, Baishanim, V'gomle Chasad. And that the Jewish people are defined by their compassion, by their Baishanus, that is to say, their capacity for Busha. Shame isn't just positive here, it's a cardinal, indelible feature. We'll come back to that. And Gemilos Chasadim. Now, Rachmanus and Gemilos Chasadim are relatively straightforward to define. Rachmanus is compassion. Gemilos Chasadim may be the outward manifestation of that compassion in terms of acts of loving kindness. Busha, admittedly, is harder to define, but the pasuk cited here by the Gemara probably gives us some insight that we'll see in just a moment that the Rambam gives us, you know, even greater insight. By Shanim Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Bavur Tiyah Yiraso Al Peneichem, two words not cited in the Gemara, but clearly referenced and included, the Vilti Techetau. It's associated, not synonymous, but deeply affiliated and associated with the virtue of Yirah Shamayim, of having a sense of awe and reverence for the master of the universe, and therefore an aversion, even an instinctive, visceral revulsion to the idea of chait itself. And that is associated with the attribute of baishanos, of busha. But the Rambam does something dramatic, which is that, again, in the Gemara, it's Rachmanim Baishanim and Gomle Chasadim. So you see that the Rambam actually gives pride of place to this virtue amongst all three, of the three cardinal virtues. And the Rambam does it, you can pick it up by implication, and then it's quite explicit. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurebiya, I note that this is the crescendo of Sefer Kedusha, where we have Shchita and Machalos Asuros and Yisurebiya. And that's a very, very important insight into the Rambam's perspective about Busha, that it's indelible and really absolutely essential in terms of Kedusha. V'chein kol mi sheyesh bo azus panim, brazenness, o achzarios, v'sonei asabrios, v'eino gomel lahem chesed, choshishin lo biyoser, shema givonihu. So a person who manifests the qualities of brazenness, cruelty, or asocial lack of caritas, we have to be very concerned in the context of marriage. Notice it doesn't say that they went to the wrong yeshiva, that they wear the wrong color shirts or colored shirts altogether, they have the wrong tablecloth or the wrong camp. But if they have these character traits, we have to be very, very concerned regarding the yichus of the individual. Shesimane Yisrael ha'uma ha'kedosha. Notice the Rambam emphasizing Sefer Kedusha, the Uma HaKedusha, Baishanim Rachmanim V'gomle Chasadim. Baishanos is first on the list. And here, again, you could have inferred it from the first line here in the Rambam, clearly the antonym of Rachmanim is Achzarim. Clearly the antonym of Gmilos Chasadim is Sonei Esabrios V'eino Gomelam Chasad. So the Rambam here is further defining precisely what we mean when we talk about busha, is a sense of shame, the vilti techto, which is the opposite of brazenness, of azus panim, shamelessness, where a person feels no compunction whatsoever in their behavior. Now, so had you asked me the story of the Givonim, where they avenge themselves on the house of Shaul in the manner that they do, I would have said it was an act of cruelty. But the Rambam says again, Lishitaso, that the real incipient failure was a failure of busha, was an act of extreme shamelessness, of brazenness, that then led to an act of cruelty. Explaining once again why the Rambam privileges as first amongst equals here, Midas Habusha. Vagivonim over, vagivonim lo b'nei Yisrael hema, lefi sheheazu p'neihem. Because they were brazen, v'lo nispaisu, v'lo richamu al b'nei Yisrael, v'lo gamlu Yisrael chesed, limchol evdei malkam, v'heim asu imahem chesed, v'hechayum batchila. And Klal Yisrael, of course, had acted graciously and with a profoundly magnanimous orientation towards the Givonim, even as the Givonim had engaged in this terrible deception of the Jewish people. So what emerges from this discussion, which is so vital, is that, of course, all of our initial instinctive responses to busha, you know, the idea that it's a tort, like, you know, nezek and sa'ar and shevis and ripoy and malbim v'chari v'barabim ein lo chelik l'olam haba and it's yaharik v'al yavar and all these things is true. But at the same time, busha has to be calibrated, because or at least our attitude does, because here busha is being considered to be not just important, not just positive, but definitional to what it means to be a member of an Uma HaKadosha. And so we're going to have to do some work, Mir Toshem, over the next three quarters of an hour, or whatever it will be, to try to understand what exactly, you know, the healthy busha is, and when busha is not only to be avoided, but is associated with Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. We have kind of, you know, extremes here, the kocha shel busha, can either result in the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, you know, literally, I'm not exaggerating, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, this is a direct quote from the Gemara, or, you know, it can, the absence thereof, you know, can, you know, be a source of great suspicion as to whether one is, you know, part of Klal Yisrael or not. So what I'd like to try to do at this point is to narrow our focus a little bit from a panoramic Shas perspective to more of a narrow perspective within Hilchos Tshuva, still somewhat wide-ranging. As I'll try to explain, tshuva is fundamental, busha is fundamental to mitzvahs tshuva in three different ways, as I hope to be able to explain. And it would be impossible to contemplate tshuva without busha, without a deep sense of shame. And then hopefully we'll be able to return to the more global issue of our perspective on shame and embarrassment writ large, and some of the tensions that we've already experienced in terms of, on the one hand, busha being, you know, an incredibly dangerous, you know, experience to inflict upon somebody. On the other hand, busha being absolutely fundamental to being a member of the Ummah HaKadosha, the first of the Rambam's triad. So if you take a look in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Perek Aleph, literally at the very, very beginning, the Rambam explains that there's a din of tshuva. We have the entire back and forth here in terms of mitzvahs tshuva, mitzvahs vidui. You know, we've settled very much on the approach of the Rav, and we've explained this in the past, so we won't belabor the point here, but that the inner process is referred to as tshuva. The outward manifestation is referred to as vidui, confession. That's the parallel outward experience. That's the method through which the tshuva is achieved. So the Rambam says, this is here in the seventh source, in the third line, Vidoy is a mitzvah sase, ketzad misvadens, but how does one deploy this method? So Omer ana Hashem chatasi avisi pashati lefanacha asisi kach v'kach, v'hare nichamti, I regret, but not only I regret, uvoshti b'ma'asai, ul'olam enichozer l'davarzeh. More on that in just a moment, but the Rambam explicitly references the fact that busha is essential to vidui. Unless anybody say that this is like, you know, extra credit, it's nice if you feel this way, but it's not, you know, critical that a person should. The Rambam then says that that is demonstrably false. Zehu yikaru shel vidui v'chol amar b'lisvado sumarech b'nyin zeh reza meshubach. And everything we saw up until now is the absolute definition, yikaru shel vidui. It's what's absolutely required. Everything else is extra and beneficial. But busha is essential to fulfilling the mitzvah of tshuva in terms of the outward manifestation of vidui. So clearly busha is very important. And the Rambam does link it here to Olam Enichozer L'Davarzeh. So to perhaps to better appreciate this first of three aspects of busha and its role in the tshuva process, let's take a look now at the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva. This is the linchpin Rambam, in my view, where the Rambam explains that the tshuva is the inner analog to the outward vidui. So the Rambam writes the following: Ma'ya tshuva sheyazu v'chotei cheto v'yasiru mechshavaso v'yigmar belibo shelo yaseu od shenamar yazu v'rasha darko. So tshuva is to abandon the sin, to extirpate it from one's mind, to commit that he won't sin in the future. V'chein yisnachem al sha'avar shenemar acharei shuvi nichamti. The Rambam quotes a part of the pasuk, but the extension of the pasuk goes on to say, acharei hivadi'i safakti al yarech boshti v'gam nichlamti ki nasasi cherpas nurai. And then the Rambam says, v'yoyed alav yodea talumo shalo yashav v'zachei le'olam shenemar v'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'masi yadenu, as we, you know, read in the Haftarah of Shuvah this morning. And then one has to verbalize v'tzarech le'zvados b'svasav v'lo mar nyano selu shagamar b'libo harei nichamti uvoshti. Prima facie, the Rambam is somewhat strange. You would have expected, after the Rambam says v'yigmar b'libo shalo yasehu od, that the Rambam would have then immediately gone to what's two lines later, v'yoed alav yodea ta'alumos shelo yashuv l'zehachet le'olam. Right after abandoning the sin and committing not to do it again, so you take God as your witness that you will not recidivate. But apparently it's not possible to do that. The only way to take God as your witness, something solemn and grave, is to experience a deep, abiding sense of busha. V'chein yisnachem al she'aver she'nemar ki acharei shuvi nichamti, harei nichamti uvoshti b'masai. One has no right nor any capacity to take God as one's witness that one will not return to that sin in the future unless one is actually deeply ashamed of that sin. As the Pasuk said, cited by the Gemara, L'man tia yir'aso al p'neichem levilti techato. And so the first way in which busha is sine qua non for tshuva is in a catalytic sense. Busha is absolutely critical with respect to the dimension of tshuva that we refer to as Kabbalah al Ha'asid. We can have no confidence whatsoever in a person's commitment not to recidivate into a particular chait unless they're actually ashamed of their actions. If the only reason a person doesn't want to recidivate is because they got caught, so then as soon as they're convinced that they have a better plan this time, they'll do it again. But if a person is deeply, profoundly ashamed, then he has the right, v'yoyer alav yodea talumos shelo yashel lezeh achei la'olam. Then it's not just lip service, then it's real, because a person feels a deep sense of shame in terms of their actions. And so the first way in which busha is essential to the process of tshuva is the sense in which busha has an instrumental role, a catalytic role, with respect to Kabbalah al Ha'asid. But we'll see that we can actually go two very profound steps further. It should be noted in that pasuk in Yirmiyah that we mentioned, Boshti v'gam dechlamti, ki nasasi cherpas ne'urai, that the Malbim, who's always so insightful with respect to subtle differences between words, says that busha is, you have this in the 11th source, me'atzmo, v'aklim al yidei acherim. I think the Malbim here was mechavein to the Rambam, as I'll try to explain, that klima typically comes from the outside, whereas busha is a reference to a deep internal sense. So the Rambam in Perek Zayin, much later on in Hilchos Tshuva, explains that busha does not merely have a catalytic significance in terms of tshuva or an instrumental role, but is intrinsically associated with rehabilitation and redemption. Balei tshuva, you have here in the 13th source, darkan li yoshvelim ve'anovim biyoser. So if you have an individual who had a certain past and somebody else is in clear violation of the Torah's statute of Onas Dvarim and many other averos undoubtedly as well, maliciously reminding of this person of their past, So that is a grievous offense on the part of that individual. However, a true Baal Tshuva will only react to that with simcha. Why? Shekol zman shem boshin mima'aseihen she'avru v'nichlamim mehen. Again, the Rambam deploys the dual language of busha uchlima. I think that the Malbim was certainly on to something. Zechusa meruba ma'alasa miskadeles. So the Rambam says something profound. That the more, and again, it's hard to quantify, I think only a Kaddish Baruch Hu could really know, but the more shame a person feels with respect to their actions, the greater madrega they've achieved. Ma'alasa miskadelas. When a person truly, deeply feels a sense of shame, or however violating the will of the Ribbono Sholom, whether it was Ben Adon L'makom, whether it was Ben Adon L'chaveiro, whether it was cheating on his taxes, whether it was being insensitive to his spouse, whether it was disregarding cardinal areas of Shmir's Torah Mitzvos, whatever it was, and a person experiences shame, it's not just catalytic or instrumental vis-a-vis the Kabbalah Allah Asid, which is dimension one, but ma'alasan miskadelos, it's intrinsically critical for rehabilitation. The more busha, it's directly proportional to ma'alas ba'al tshuva. And finally, we see maybe the most subtle, but in my view, the most profound of the ways in which busha plays an indispensable role in tshuva. There's a debate in the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Peivav regarding publicizing one's sins, and there seem to be contrary indications in Tanakh. On the one hand, mechase pshav lo yatzliach, you shouldn't cover up your sins. On the other hand, ashrei nesui pesha, ksui chata'a, and it's debated amongst the Amoraim exactly how to make sense of these counterindications in the psukim. One approach is to say maybe it's a question of the sin is already public, so then you're not the one who's publicizing it. The Ravid seems to favor such an interpretation. The other distinction seems to be at the heart of the Rambam's approach, which is that it depends whether we're dealing with a mitzvah ben adam lemakom or ben adam lechaveru. As we'll see in just a moment, the Rambam says interpersonal mitzvos, it's appropriate to note the way in which you've wronged an individual and harmed them. When it comes to ben adam lemakom, that is not the case. But the language of the Rambam and the way in which busha is really the author of this story, if you're reading it closely, I think is dramatic and truly magnificent. So the Rambam here, Paskins, Nakamar, Yuma, Peivav, you have it in the 15th source, V'shevach gadol l'shav, she'yizvada b'rabim v'yodiya p'shav la'magala aveiro she'beda lo v'chaveiro la'achayrim v'omer lahem omnam. Indeed, chatasi l'ploni, I have wronged so-and-so, v'asisi lo kach v'kach, I have done that or this, v'hareni ayom shavu misnachim. And to fail to do so would be prideful. What are we referring to? In interpersonal affairs. It's not just that you don't need to, but the Rambam uses language which is highly suggestive to us, that we've seen before, that we should be very familiar with. V'azus panim hilo im gilam. And it's actually a form of brazenness for a person to feel comfortable stating publicly what their sin against the Ribono Shel Olam was, to be mifari to sached b'rabim. As we saw before, the term azus panim is the antonym in the lexicon of the Rambam to busha. That a person's sense of busha is not only catalytic of their Kabbalah al Ha'asid, it allows us to say, yes, you can take God as your witness because you deeply, deeply regret, feel true shame at your actions. It's not only intrinsically meaningful, kolzman shem bizbayesh malasom is gadalas, but busha is so fundamental that it should become part of the persona of the shav, of the Baal Tshuva, and should stop him before he even verbalizes in what way he was morid b'malchus, in what way he rebelled against the Ribbono Shel Olam. It would be an azos panim to verbalize publicly, elashav lifnei hakel baruch hu, as the Rambam says, privately in front of Hashem is something else entirely. That's absolutely necessary. There's a din of pirud achet, ano achatam azeh chata gdolav yasu lehem elohei zahav, but there's no basis to publicly state these things, because to feel comfortable publicly stating them is itself an absence of busha, form of azos panim. And so, generally, busha is indelibly associated with the Umma HaKadosha of Klal Yisrael, by shanim, in the lexicon of the Rambam, and only then, rachmanim v'gomli chasadim. But we see that when it comes to tshuva, it's a din prati, it's fundamental. There is no Kabbalah al-Asid without busha. The greater the busha, the greater the madrega of the Baal Tshuva. And then finally, that busha should be felt so naturally, like a second nature, an instinctive sense of busha, that you wouldn't even contemplate being misvade b'rabim when it comes to averos ben adam lemakom, because one has internalized the extent to which this constitutes a rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam, whether it was yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 50 years ago, that you wouldn't dream, you wouldn't dare to state so publicly. Interestingly, there is the inverse of this phenomenon. Once we're already accentuating the capacity of the emotion of shame, intensive regret, to catalyze and to represent fundamental tshuva, so a thinking person will present the following question, which on its face may seem somewhat provocative, maybe even absurd. But if I were to ask you the following proposition, let's say a person feels ashamed, not of the wrong things that they did, but of the right things that they've done. A lifetime of Torah study, of chesed, a lifetime of intensive, rigorous, immersive shmiras ha-mitzvos. And they decide at some, you know, advanced age that they, you know, are not not proud of the lives that they've led. So somebody asked me, you know, with no inside information, you know, about this, I would have said, you know, their actions stand. It's not good, but, you know, how can you erase? After all, maybe if I knew a little bit more about it, I'd say, there appears to be like this asymmetry. It says that when it comes to good things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers the intent to do so the equivalent of action, machshava kemaisa. When it comes to bad things, we say that machshava is not kemaisa. So, right, he did the good things. He didn't do whatever he wishes he would have done now. There is an exception to that rule. It's an exception that startles the Gemara, those who are involved in Daf Yomi, saw it very recently, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Amud Beis, where the Gemara astonishes itself by reporting that a person who experienced busha, but not of the good sort, but was not proud, quite the contrary, of a lifetime of goodness, would lose all credit for those actions. The Gemara says, V'lehavi kemechtzal mechtza, he should at least be considered a Beinoni, because after all, he did these things, even if he now regrets them. The Gemara says, Toel Arishonos. No, he loses all credit if he deeply regrets and let's say is ashamed of his life of good. The Rambam paskins as such. Kol misha nicham la mitzvah sha'asa v'tala azachuyos v'amer belibo ma'hu'alti v'asiyasan halavai lo asisiyosan hareza ibed es kulan vein maskirin lo shum zachos ba'olam shenembar v'tzitkas ha'tzadik lo satzileno b'yomrisho einza lo b'toel Arishonos. So the Rambam says a person has lost all credit for every one of their good actions over, it could be decades, a lifetime of goodness, if they then regret all of their philanthropy, all of their caritas, all of their generosity, all of their sensitivity, all of their heeding God's will, all of their selflessness and altruism. Everything, so if a person is Toal Arishonos, the Koach HaBusha here is so profound that it actually erases all of one's good deeds as well. In that respect, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, just as Busha can be absolutely essential in the process of tshuva, of expiation, and achieving kapara, the opposite is equally true. And this too, I think, is part of the profound koach habusha. The truth is that in trying to now begin to evaluate more broadly, to zoom back out, tarte mashma, the dialectical approach that we've seen so far to busha, on the one hand, you know, we started talking about with respect to, you know, our natural aversion. It's one of the torts, hachovel, nezek, tsa'ar, sheves, ripoy, boshes. If it's done in a habitual way, hamal ben pnei chaveru berabim ein lo chelek liolam haba, kama gedola kocha shel busha, sharei siyei HaKadosh Baruch lebar kamtza, v'hecheri v'es mikdasho v'sarav v'es echala. All clearly, indisputably negative associations. On the other hand, when it comes to what we saw, that it's part of Baishanos, it's part of being part of the Ummah Kedosha, it's the first on that list, Baishanim Rachmanim Gomlei Chasadim. In tshuva, it's essential in three different ways. Kabbalah la'asid, malasa miskadelas. It establishes a natural boundary, a natural reticence with respect to misvada chatayim ben adam lemakom berabim. So we have to try to clarify for ourselves, you know, exactly where the line is drawn between constructive busha and the busha that's associated with really very, very grave consequences. The fortunate aspect here is that if you're interested in probing busha, it's as old as sin itself. The first narrative, those who are sort of following along in the Makoros, you can take a look here. It's the 17th source. Mostly I'll just talk about it directly. It's from the story of the Eitz Hadas, the Chet of Adam, and not yet named Chava, the Adam and the Isha. The prelude to the sin is that Adam and the Isha were naked, Vayishneim Arumim, Adam v'Ishto, v'lo yisboshashu, and there was no busha. Immediately, as we know, after the sin, the first thing that happens, Vayedu ki'erumim heim, Vayach geru, so they make the chagoros, alei te'ena vayasulahem chagoros, that they have to cover up their source of shame and embarrassment, and rather than avoiding the issue, Kadosh Baruch Hu raises a discussion regarding busha, regarding shame, with Adam. It's noteworthy. Hashem doesn't circle around, he goes straight to Bush. Mi higid lecha ki erom ata? Who told you that you were naked? Why are you ashamed? Adam had said, Va'ira ki erom anochi. The Vilna Gaon has a profound comment regarding this formulation of Adam, Va'ira ki erom anochi. The Vilna Gaon says in the Aderes Eliyahu, why is it Va'ira ki'ero manochi? It should be Ve'evosh, I'm embarrassed. That's what the whole idea was. Ki'ero mimhe, v'lo yisboshashu, but now he was embarrassed. So the Vilna Gaon, and the truth is that there's a kind of an antecedent to this in the Sfarno, as well, as I'll mention in a moment, says it was embarrassment, but it was more than embarrassment. It was yira, va'ira. Because the nature of the busha was realizing that I had destroyed my relationship with you. You remember back in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Kal Yisrael, they're Baishanim. Leman tia yir aso al panechem levilti techatao. Busha, healthy busha, is associated with yira, with a sense of awe and fear regarding how precious one's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Hence, Adam HaRishon, says the Vilna Gaon, recognizing what happened, Va'ira became afraid of what he had done, Ki erom anochi va'ichavei, Busha and Yira conjoined. And when he experienced that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't simply leave him as such, but when the person acknowledges that deep Busha, that busha and yira that's associated with loss of a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Sfarno says, exactly on this point, Vayiru migashas elav, that when Klal Yisrael, after the Egel Azav, they were afraid to pray Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, why were they afraid? They were afraid because they knew that they had sinned, and they were unworthy of that level of relationship. That's what Adam HaRishon was referring to, Va'ira ki'erom anochi, like Va'iru migesha se'lov. He could no longer be in the presence of the Ribono Shalom. That was the nature of his emotional experience. So of course, what's the conclusion of that story? Kadosh Baruch Hu vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam l'ishto kosnos or vayal b'shem. It's okay. Once you've experienced that busha, once you've experienced that sense of dread that accompanies the busha, va'ira ki'erom anochi, you're afraid of what you've done to your relationship with God, the consequences, the loss. So Hashem says, I'll show you that reconciliation is possible. Kosnos or vayal b'shem. The Medrash Tanchuma, remember, literally almost a quarter of a century ago, my freshman year of high school, hearing this from Rabbi Yitzchak Avram Tversky, the Smedrash Tanchuma quoted, that the kosnos or were the big day kuhuna gedola. It was a sign that atonement was possible. Where there's busha, where there's real accountability, with sense of deep shame, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there's going to be forgiveness. Now we can begin to work on repairing the relationship. You have a sense of dread and shame at what you've done to the relationship. So now we can begin to build from there. And when we talk about that image of the Kohen Gadol in particular, what certainly comes to mind, at least for me, is that Aaron, now Kohen, of course, by this time tomorrow night, we'll be deep into Yom Kippur, the Yom of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron knew intimately about this experience. Teras Kohanim, Pasuk in Parsha Shmini, when Moshe says to him on the first day that he was serving as a Kohen Gadol, and Aaron stopped dead in his tracks, and he couldn't approach the Mizbeach, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, Kerav el HaMizbeach, go forward. And Rashi explains, based on the Torah, Kohanim, and the Ramban elaborates, Shehaya Aaron bosh v'yare, that Aaron was ashamed and afraid. The Ramban says, the Egel HaZahav appeared to him, the image on the Mizbeach. Aaron, says the Ramban, was a Kedosh Hashem. And because he was a Kedosh Hashem, he experienced deep usha for his role in that chait. And Moshe Rabbeinu essentially tells him, Aaron, lekach nivcharta, that's why you were chosen. Because you don't run away from this, you embrace it. But move forward now. Vayas Hashem Elokim l'adam l'ishto kosnos or vayal b'shem. Where there's busha, where there's true shame, and a true sense of fear of what that means in terms of one's relationship, that becomes the basis for regeneration, for rehabilitation of the relationship itself. Kerav el hamizbeach, lekach nivcharta. Now you can move forward. The healthiest, most necessary, holiest form of busha, as the Rambam said, it's affiliated with the Uma HaKadosha, is associated with Yiras Chet. Ma'an tia yirasu al pneichem, levilti techatau. And hence, busha is absolutely essential when it comes to Kabbalah al-Asid. A person, as we said, who's afraid of getting caught won't repeat the sin as long as he's afraid of getting caught. As soon as he's no longer afraid of getting caught, because he can have a drone do it, or you know, he's deployed AI to do it for him, so he'll repeat the sin. But busha, when a person fears what they've done to the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have a lot of confidence that they're not going to recidivate. When a person experiences busha, deep busha, malaso misgadelas, how is that true? Well, it's true, not just because yisurin are mechaper, but malaso misgadelas, because if he so values his relationship with Hashem, that he experiences the sort of busha that's affiliated with loss of that relationship. Busha midin yira va'ira ki'irom anochi, as the Vilna Gaon says. Busha and yira together, like Aaron experienced after the Egel Azav. So then malasa misgadelas, it shows how much he cherishes that relationship, how much he fears loss of that relationship. And likewise, if a person's sense of busha is rooted in a sense of the preciousness of that relationship, he won't dream nor dare nor even contemplate being misvade his acts of rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam publicly. It's just something that's unfathomable. If he truly is horrified, mortified by those actions, he's not going to go around saying what he did to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because to do so would reflect an azos panim, kind of a shamelessness about those actions themselves. Everything we said about busha is a negative, as a tort, as a form of damage along the lines of Nezek and Tsar and Shevis and Ripoy, Malbin Pnei Chavera Beravin L'Chilek Lam Haba, that's social shame. That's shame which is intended to make a person feel small or unworthy or stigmatized vis-a-vis others. And of course, that's horrible. That type of shame is again, it's Dine Mamnos, you would owe a person money. beyond that, if you know you did it maliciously and in a habitual way, you could forfeit your chelek lama ba. Gidola kocha shel busha, and you know what happened to Bar Kamtza, the ultimate social shaming, you know, led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Siya kadosh baruch hu lo, v'chara v'es mikdasha v'sara v'seichalo. That's social shame. We shouldn't be shaming people socially. But the sense of busha affiliated with Yira about my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is, what have I done to that relationship? L'man tiyeh yirasu al p'necham levilti techatau isn't just positive, it's essential. It's the only way that a person can truly be sure. V'lo yashav l'zeh chet l'olam. It reflects ma'alasa miskadelas. The more pain a person would feel at trampling that relationship reflects how far they've come, and certainly would serve as a natural internal boundary against the person being misvada chataim bin adam lemakom berabim. Sadly, or inversely, when a person feels that way about good things that they've done, they don't value that relationship when they're toel arishonos. So sadly, they lose all of the zechuyos associated with their actions. It could be over the course of decades or even a lifetime. So hopefully tonight we gained a little bit of perspective that busha is not something, when we hear that word, that we should run for the hills. That's true of social stigmatization, social humiliation, of trying to manipulate the natural human tendency to want to experience acceptance in a peer group against a person. That is very cruel. But when it comes to busha in the sense of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'man tiyeh yirasu al p'necham levilti techtau, that form of busha, that comes even before Rachmanim and Gomlei Chasadim, that's the foundation. Again, we live in a time where, you know, there's such an emphasis in general culture against rejecting this kind of accountability, right? To deny and then to deflect, and then, you know, the whataboutism, this one, he did that. So, but if we could be honest with ourselves and say every time there's a chait, so it compromises our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's something to experience deep shame and regret about. And then on that basis, krav el hamizbeach va'aseis chataschas alosacha, because we cherish the relationship, not to allow ourselves to miss another opportunity, not to further compromise that relationship. In that respect, busha is the healthiest thing in the world, because it reminds us how precious the relationship is. Mashalom adavar doma, a person, you know, does the wrong thing. They're playing with their child, and the ball goes into the street, and they don't. When their child runs after the ball, they figure they'll take the chances, and you know what? They don't shout out stop. And a car, you know, comes to a screeching halt, you know, 6 inches from that child. It could have all ended right there. The best thing for the health of that child going forward, and for the relationship between the parent and that child, is for the parent to perpetually have a sense, because they cherish that child and they cherish the relationship, of horror at that incident, and that never is he going to allow his child to run in the street again because he almost lost that which was most precious to him. That emotion, he's not embarrassed because his neighbor would say, oh my God, this person, you know, allowed their child to run into the street. It's fundamental. It's not social in nature. It's fundamental because he's about to lose the thing that's most precious in his life. Va'ira ki erom anochi va'ichave. That's the busha that we want. That this is absolutely precious. And when you experience that, then you can turn to Hashem and say, Lo yashuv l'zeh hachei la'olam. I'll never do it again. And the more one feels that way, malasa miskadelas, the more it reflects exactly on that point on how much a person cherishes relationship with Hashem, and that a person would never go about publicly stating the ways in which, you know, that relationship was trampled or violated. And when Hashem kaviyachol sees that sense of busha, of how much you cherish the relationship, like Adam, Vayas Hashem Elokim la Adam lishto kosnos or vayal bishem. That's the beginning of kapara. Hashem says, I see that you value the relationship. That's why Hashem didn't beat around. Mi higidlcha ki romata. Hashem was showing Adam Arishon, like he's showing all of us, derech tshuva horesa, showing him that the path to tshuva doesn't circumvent, but the path to tshuva runs directly through Midas HaBusha itself. I want to wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova. We should have a wonderful, successful Yom HaKippurim, a day of opportunity to be Shav Mizvada Lefanav, not to run away from those feelings, but to embrace, and as such, to reflect how precious the relationship is to us, how committed we are to ensuring the relationship goes forward in a healthy and successful manner in Tafshin Pei Dalet. So again, I want to thank everybody for their participation, and a very special thank you to Martin and Adele for sponsoring, in memory of Martin's mother, Elka Bas Moshe Chaim, Elizabeth Rosenfeld, her neshama should have an aliyah. Gemar Chasima Tova.
Thank you, Gemar Chasima Tova.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good night, everybody.